Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
We did it!
We did it! We finished the Mass Effect series.
Whoa! Hi, my name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times.
Hi, my name is Dylan, and I've played all three Mass Effect games.
And this is Dogspawn.
A video game
book club where we put video choice heavy video games like a book club.
Video podcast book club.
Very...
Say all the words.
Buzzword. We have finished Mass Effect 3. Done it. The trilogy has concluded.
Yeah.
This week, we did Chrono Station, which is the Cerberus mission. Priority Earth, which was the final mission. I am very excited to get into this because this is the controversy of this game.
Oh, and I see why. I get it. Oh. I see what the people are talking about.
And I'm wondering if you're going to get it more when we discuss it and I talk to you about the endings. Because there is something that I am saving for a Patreon episode where I'm going to run you down a theory, a fan theory about Mass Effect 3 that I believe so heavily that I take it as canon. And there's a lot of evidence for it being canon, but EA said is officially not canon.
Is it that the little boy is a liar?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not. That is part of it.
I saw one like that and I was like, sure.
It's one that we will talk about today. I will discuss it. I will briefly touch on it, but there is a 3-hour documentary on YouTube solidifying the theory as real. Like they go through so much granular stuff to prove this one theory, but none of that fucking matters. None of that matters yet. We're going to be talking about it later.
Let's get there first.
Okay, so, Dylan, do you want to run us down?
I'll at least start. Yeah. We know that we have to go attack the elusive man's base. That's like part one of the end.
Yes.
We are like told by Hackett in our call that like once we do this, there's kind of no going back. You're doing this to the end. I triggered this mission and then I get a great cutscene with Garrus where we have our like final hurrah before the end of the world kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
He's really smooth. We even make a comment about how he doesn't need, the practice anymore, but we're going to still keep practicing.
Love it.
Fun of it. Most charming man on earth. It's incredible.
It's crazy.
No romance for poor,
Before Shiv. No, Shiv does walk into Tali and Garrus making out in Garrus's reactor room, and they both are very shocked, and they're like, "Oh, we didn't think anyone was coming here. Hi, Shep. I'm sorry, this just kind of happened."
And no invite.
Right? Crazy. It's because Tali is so straight, even though she's the most bi woman ever, and I hate it. I was really hoping for a Liara interaction in some way, but there was none. It is Shiv sitting in her room alone, waiting for the end, waiting for them to arrive. Yeah.
Actually it's devastating.
Deeply, deeply upsetting.
Hurtful.
Yeah.
So we have those like little cutscenes. You can talk to people, and then you're headed to the elusive man's base. You jump the elusive man. Unfortunately, I realized after that I had one more invite to go visit Jacob on the Citadel. I don't know when that fucking came in. It must have been like right before this, but anyway,
yeah,
can't do that anymore. Land in like the shuttle bay of the elusive man's base first. This from here to the end, it's fights like crazy.
It's fights toe-to-tip. Yeah.
It's fights toe-to-tip. You're fighting. And now it's like all of these ground missions that you're doing from here on out are super intense because you're seeing like every enemy you've fought across the series.
Yeah.
All of the different Reaper iterations, Cerberus everywhere. It's everything. Uh-huh. The fights are pretty intense, but you're fighting your way into the elusive man's base. And I don't know, is there like
this?
I might be forgetting some like specifics.
Small computer entry interactions that you can through. You can watch the elusive man build you.
Yes. You see the conversations happening behind closed doors, including the creation of Edie.
Yeah.
And how stupid and arrogant the elusive man is that, like, even his men keep calling Edie her and, like, personifying her. And he's just like, don't be stupid.
It's an it.
And it's just like, crazy, wild. That was cool.
And then you have Edie, and then you have a brief one with Kai Lang, the creation of him, where the elusive man is like, you have to calm down because your cybernetics are not fixed up yet. And he's like, no, I'm fine. I'm going to go on this mission. I'm going to kill Shepard anyway. Which is fine. Oh, it's whatever. It's like, okay, you're just kind of a guy. Yeah. I brought James Vega with me on this mission. I don't know why.
Fascinating.
I brought Edie and James Vega, so we had conversations and chats. I think it's because I was like, I mean, he's a human, so I kind of want to have Cerberus watch a human, like watch two humans and their AI kill them all, because that must
be real
disappointing.
Yeah.
For them. And I was like, I don't think, to me, no one else had a stake in that fight. It's like Garrus, Liara, and Tali. No, sorry, Garrus and Tali, yes, were part of Cerberus' suicide mission. I don't think they have, like, energy behind, like, killing Cerberus outside of, we should kill them, they're bad guys.
Sure.
Kind of felt the same with Liara. Liara wasn't there because she was training to be the Shadow Broker at the time. Jarvik could not give less of a shit about Cerberus.
No, I know.
So I was like, I don't want him there. So I brought Vega. You have to bring Edie. A lot of fun conversations walking around as Edie, though. I do like that. You fight your way all the way over to the elusive man's big main base. You get to be in the room that you've always seen through the glass at for two games, which I think is really cool. The elusive man, slippery little eel that he is, has already left. And then you have this conversation with Admiral Hackett where he says that the Crucible is finished. We just have no idea what the catalyst is.
Right.
And we can't make the Crucible work without the catalyst.
Without it. Yeah.
So you are going there not only to stop Cerberus and kill the elusive man, but also you're going there to use the Prothean VI to find out what the catalyst is. You go there, you're doing beep, boop, 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 little bit of hacking. Kai Lang turns up. You fight Kai Lang. He's a dog shit easy fight in comparison to Thessia, because he doesn't become a mortal at any point. You can just kind of ram bam slam the guy, and then you kill him. But then everyone has their backs turned to him as there is this cutscene of after you defeat Kai Lang, he has this moment where he's like slowly standing up and then he goes to stab you from behind. You get a renegade react, which I did, which I don't. And then you have a paragon after, and I'm not sure what the paragon
one is. I didn't take the renegade, I don't think, because I tried not to take any renegade, which pisses me off for later purposes.
Yep. Yep. I did the
but
exact
I didn't take
same.
The,
on
I don't
my
remember
first
exactly what happened, but I took a paragon only.
The renegade one's cool, and it doesn't. This is one of the weird things to me where I'm like, I have no idea why this is Renegade, but on a Renegade, he raises his sword to kill you. Shepard turns around, palms the sword and breaks it, and then the... Here's the thing. We really wouldn't know this, but because we're both biotics, the biotic heavy melee attack is we like coalesce a bunch of biotic energy and then do this like little force punch type thing.
Yeah.
If you are any physical class, the Omni tool has a knife in it in the coolest fucking, it looks so sick. It's like the Omni tool appears on your arm and then a sword swings around in it, so then you have this essentially like sword gauntlet on your arm. That's what a heavy attack is with physical classes. It's awesome. In the Renegade, Shepard breaks the sword, then her Omni tool becomes this like gauntlet sword, and then she stabs Kai Leng through the chest with it and he dies. And I'm like, I don't know why that's a Renegade. He was going to kill you. It's cool. Yeah. Is that what the Renegade of it is?
So
is that
all
it
that happens, there's no Paragon option, actually. You just don't take the Renegade, and then Shepard just dodges out of the way. You just don't break it.
I guess the Renegade is you don't kill him. The Renegade is you kill him, rather than the Paragon is you just let him bleed out. And it's like, well, there's no difference. He's going to die anyway. It's such an interesting...
No, you still kill him.
You still kill him?
You just dodge out of the way. You just don't kill him as aggressively, I think, is the
stupid thing.
Stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah, a little bit.
Dumb. Whatever. And then... and then Edie finishes her hack. And then she makes the big revelation of what the catalyst is. I love this shit so fucking much. The first time I heard this, I was like... The catalyst, the thing that the Protheans intended to finish the Crucible, this Reaper-killing weapon, is the Citadel itself.
Mm.
That's the coolest shit fucking ever.
Coolest shit. Very cool. Wish they'd kept that. Wish they had kept that as being the case.
Well, they do. I know what you mean. They do keep it. You need the Citadel to power the Crucible. The Crucible is the thing that is a little weird, that has an interesting bit. Anyway.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Anywho, but now the Citadel has moved. The Citadel has moved through space and is now orbiting Earth instead. So
yes. Because the Reapers have moved it to Earth to protect it better, so they don't need to split forces. They can just have everyone focused on Earth and the Citadel. But it's fucking sick. It means that everything ends at Earth. Very hyped for me. Turns out Joker's sister survived, but his dad didn't in a fight because they were evacuating. Joker then makes a comment about the fact that he kind of wishes that this... You reminisce about the first ever mission with Nihilus that you take.
Yeah.
And how this all started with a routine check-in mission on Eden Prime, and now look at where you are. It's very cool.
Yeah. I felt like not a lot between these two takes place. Like, I went to go talk to everybody
and no one really has thoughts.
It's
the last mission, gang. How do we not have oh my god, this is it conversations?
I guess we kind of do the this
we
is
do
it before going to the Illusive Man's base, which whatever, fine.
Well, we have a this is it on Earth as well.
Sure. so you get to Earth.
Well, you meet Hackett. Hackett comes aboard in person.
Yes.
He docks. And then he gives a rallying speech.
It's a bad one, gang.
It's not
bad
great.
Speech. That would not inspire me. I'd say, you know what? Oh, we're going to lose. Ooh.
And then
lose.
And then, though, you go through Sol's Mass Effect relay In my favorite cutscene, because I fucking love a space fight, you have, like, my favorite sci-fi trope, which is there are hundreds of thousands of Reapers defending Earth, and then through the Sol Mass Effect relay, zoom, comes the Normandy.
Yeah.
Ah, you alone?
No, great cutscene. I agree.
Doom, 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 doom. And then every ship throughout the whole galaxy, as they're all like, as Joker is like flicking switches and being like, okay, who's signing on? And then everyone, and then you see every race and everyone like, this is us standing by, red leader standing by, and all that stuff.
The Geth sign on, everybody signed on. Yeah. It's cool. It's cool. It's really good. This part, and I will say, this entire war sequence that you go through feels really good. Where, like, when you're landing on Earth, there are things happening. Like, first of all, Earth is in shambles.
Yeah.
And just covered with enemies. Forgive me if I do things like piecemeal or out of order, but, like, you have to get, like, you have to fight your way through, obviously. But then you have to get across, like, what they're calling no man's land, where there's just, like, a big open space where they're just, like,
there is a Reaper looking over it.
Yeah, and that shit is sick. It feels really dramatic. It feels really big. The fights feel really overwhelming. Even though none of the enemies are individually too tough, there's just so many. Yeah. And, like, and then occasionally, of course, there's, like, a Banshee or, like, one of the other, you know, like, tough ones that do show up, cannibals and stuff. So it's just, it's really high energy. It's really intense, and it does feel like you're at war. There's also, like, this shaky cam fucking thing that's happening in the first, like, half of this.
Yeah.
Ooh, rough. You can't, like, fucking aim your gun. Rough stuff. you go through this, and then eventually there is a kind of calm where you're like, your men are firing out, but there are, like, people you can talk to, like, meet with people from your squad. I didn't find like everybody, really. But you get to talk to a few people. The first round is, like, you get to talk to Vega and Garrus, and then there's another fight scene, and then you go find more people. You get to talk to Liara.
There is also, I don't know,
yeah,
oh god, I hope you did get it. If you go into a side room, you can contact other people on Earth.
Oh, I did do that. Yeah,
you did that.
Contact people by.
Holodeck.
So I did. I reached, you know, everybody, Samara and Grunt and
Miranda is there. Jacob is also there.
Oh right. Yep.
Also, this is not.
Talking
this is
to
nothing. Go on.
Oh
no, you go.
Well,
you go.
I just want to say, talking to Liara, girl, still.
It's so fucking cute. This actually, my note here for the Liara conversation is Liara has the cutest moment, and then they is love, and then a little sad face. Days in love. And if you had this moment is perfect for had a relationship with Liara and then broke off a relationship with Liara.
It's
depressing.
Very
because it's truly like, oh, they are like, they are in love and
just can't be.
And just can't be.
Yeah.
And then she's still doing this to show, like, I still love you. And then there's a shepherd response.
Yeah.
Like,
let me tell you how it comes across when you've never kissed her. little different.
Yeah.
Little different vibe I'm getting from that super intense tryst to the stars that she took me on with a touch of her forehead to mine.
Yeah.
I was like, huh.
Mm. Yeah. It's their way of saying goodbye.
Sure.
Because she's in love with Shepard.
Because she's in love with Shepard is the thing.
Yeah.
Brief conversation with Rex.
Yeah,
a little bit
he's
too
rallying
brief. I feel like everybody really got like a...
They didn't. And that's
the moment
really
that they should have. Like, Liara has this big moment.
Javik has a great moment.
Oh, yeah. Where he finally is just like, you've done everything that we couldn't do. And after this, I'm going to find and bury my people and kill myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And join them. Because this is enough. We've done it.
Because we've done it. Yeah, and it is a shame because these cool moments highlight the lack of moments with other people. Like, I walked over to Rex really excited to have a conversation, and then it's a one-line, not dialogue-based sentence. And I'm like, okay. Hey, buddy, you know how we've been together since day one?
Day one?
Can I fucking talk to you, please?
Please.
It's crazy. Yeah.
But...
it's deeply upsetting.
But we do have a conversation with Garrus.
Oh,
wherein...
yeah.
I think probably the most devastating thing that I imagine he says, regardless of relationship
context.
I think I know
what you're going to say because I have it written down as our quote for the end of the day.
Me too. There is no Shepard without Vicarion.
Oh. I didn't write that down.
What did you write down?
That is very good. I wrote down, if this all goes sideways and we're both in heaven, meet me at the bar.
That's also a really good one.
Love that line.
That's also a really good one.
Yeah.
They're all good. The Garrus conversation is good through and through, but there is no Shepard without Vicarion. Meant a lot to me.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah,
that is good. Actually, that's real. That is a good one. That's really nice. Briefly, Steve Cortez dies, leading Reapers away from us.
Yeah,
our shuttle pilot dies, and then. So we meet a character, we meet Anderson on his ship, and then we meet a character called Coates, who this whole time, I was like, he has a lot of FaceTime, a lot of dialogue. Who is this guy? And I Googled it. He's in nothing except for this one scene. He's not in the Mass Effect trilogy at all, except for this one scene. And I was like, why is it so relevant that we speak to him? And I tell you why. It's because that is Hawk. That is Garrett Hawk being Coates. And I was like, ah, that's why they're
funny.
Like, look at this guy.
Look.
And it's like, he's cool. I don't know who he
is. I like him.
he has a whole trailer dedicated to himself. Like a trailer for Mass Effect 3 features Coates exclusively. And he's only in the last scene of the game.
That's so
and
stupid.
And I bet you
I love
it's
it.
Exclusively because that's Garrett
that's
Hawk.
That's insane. Does Cortez always die?
Cortez, well, I mean, he did for me. I'm pretty sure he
did. I actually don't know that he died. I thought I heard him get away.
Oh, that's going to be bonkers. I'm Googling.
But it could be. It could be that I just missed whatever the signifier was that he died.
Sure. Oh, no. He just died for me. He just died for me. Crazy. Oh, yeah. If Steve was never interacted with much, he dies.
Oh, my God. Stop it. I went to talk to him every fucking time I came back to the ship.
Awkward. Did not know that he dies. I didn't know that he lives.
Wow.
Shame.
But he gets shot down, but then he says over the radio, I'm okay. Like, so he still does get shot down out of the sky, leading them out. But I did get like a radio message
fine.
From him after that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Fun. Yep, no, he's dead. He's dead. He dies.
Wow. Crazy.
Oopsie. Oh, yeah. Sorry. So I have in my notes, if this all goes sideways and we're both in heaven, meet me at the bar. Oh, yep. I'm not sure if Turian heaven is the same on Earth, but if this both goes sideways and we end up there, meet me at the bar is the full quote.
Yeah.
Liara has the cutest moment. They's in love. Sad face. Javik is very cool. And then my next... Oh, Edie is scared. Edie is scared for the first time.
Yeah.
Experiences the human emotion scared. And then the next note, can't talk to Rex, I'll fucking kill you.
I'll fucking kill you. Why can't I talk to my boy?
So fucking annoying. Because the thing is them being like, the idea is, oh, well, Rex isn't alive in every playthrough. I don't fucking care.
I don't care. This is a finale. You've put so much effort into the diversity of choice in this game. Commit to it.
Yeah.
I get that it's hard, but...
And that's a big thing that we'll get through. We'll talk about it in a second. You fight your way to the beacon. There's this big beacon that Reapers have been sending people to get shot up to be harvested. However, that has now changed to they're getting shot up to the Crucible, the Citadel, Crucible.
The Crucible, yeah.
And we're like, okay, that's all we need. That's all we need to get to, is we need to get there. We're in the Citadel. We can program it to get to hook up to the Crucible, and we can kill all the Reapers.
Yeah.
We get in. We storm the beacon. One of our squad mates goes down. For me, my squad mates were Jarvik and Liara.
Garrus. I had Garrus and Liara for this part. Garrus goes down.
Fantastic. Jarvik goes down in this bit. For me. Then it's you get a Joker to bring the Normandy in to ship your two squad mates away, and you're like, I have to end it. I have to do this now.
Garrus and I have a heartbreaking I love you goodbye, which is just like,
oh my God. Oh my God.
Garrus assumes I'm not coming back, and we are just like, I love you. I love you so much. I'm so sorry. And then it's awful.
Oh my God. That's so actually fucking brutal rough. That's
crazy.
And
then he gets carried away by Liara, like looking horrific. And I just have to run. And Shepard, from here on out, Shepard can't run. Like Shepard is.
No, she full sprints and then gets blown up by a Reaper beam. Yeah.
Yeah. And
there's a comm call, which is there are no survivors. Everyone died in that one Reaper shot. Like we weren't able to get to the beacon.
Yeah.
The toughest woman in the galaxy coughs and wakes up. She's still
picks
there.
Picks up. You have no more of your equipment left. You have one handgun.
Yeah.
And you are staggering. You can only walk just like Joker on the assault on the
ship, Normandy. Yeah.
On the Normandy. You are just stumbling your way through. And you make it to... you make it to the beacon. You jump in and you get fooped back up onto the Citadel. Hackett or someone is like, holy shit, she did it.
Which is a cool. I really liked that moment. Having the like, there are no survivors. And then like 10 minutes later, having a holy shit, she made it is cool. It's like, and the fact that it's like, there's no Shepard made it. It's just a she made it. Because everyone knows that if someone is going to get there.
Someone made it.
The thing, what I also like is they don't have a reading. They don't have a reading on who made it. There is
one person made it through.
And it's Shepard. They know
it's Shepard. Of course it's Shepard.
It is a moment which I'll give them. I'll give them kudos. That's fucking cool as shit. That made me feel so. It's like, yeah, it is. Of course it's Shepard.
But Anderson's here too. Somewhere that you can't see.
Yeah.
You're on the Citadel, but you don't recognize the Citadel. One, because it's covered in human remains.
Yeah. With those fucking bugs.
Those fucking bugs who I can't believe we let live. I can't believe we let live. I cannot believe in the plot of this game. It's like, yeah, well.
They're fine. You find out in game one they're working for the Reapers, and everyone's like,
and you're just
whatever.
Like, yeah, well, but they keep the ship running, you know?
You stumble your way through. You're speaking to Anderson. It's really... This is when the game gets very weird, and this is when the conspiracy starts.
Okay.
Because you get up to the Citadel. Oh my God, she made it. She made it. Oh my God, she made it. One person made it. Anderson, yeah, I'm also here. How?
Yeah, why?
I followed
and why
you
didn't
through.
Anybody know
how
that
did
Anderson
you do that?
Made it?
How is no one commenting on the fact that Anderson made it?
Yeah.
And how is Anderson in such a different part than you?
Right.
In like, it is like way ahead of you, is in such a different place. You stumble into this, into underneath the platform that will send you, like, send you up to the Crucible. The Crucible zips through, connects to the Citadel. You just need to activate it. You're walking up. Anderson is already there, beep, beep, bleeping away. And then the elusive man turns up, full yeah. Reaper mode.
Oh, he's super indoctrinated like crazy.
Yeah.
The elusive man is trying to sell you so hard on the idea that he can use the Crucible to control the Reapers and that that's going to be a good idea.
Yeah.
He's so indoctrinated. His eyes are crazy. And so he's saying this and you're just like, nothing you say means anything to me because you're under Reaper control as you say it right now.
Yeah.
But he somehow takes control of Anderson. Anderson is still talking
like Anderson,
but he's like in a delirious state. So he's not like, I don't know, whatever.
He's getting indoctrination controlled because the elusive man now has these weird new abilities because of his Reaper influence. So is now able to control Anderson. Anderson points a gun at you and then shoots.
Yeah.
You.
Shoots you. Yeah.
Shoots you.
Shoots you in the stomach. Yeah.
You shoot the elusive man. The elusive man then shoots Anderson.
Oh, no. I shot and killed the elusive man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You shoot the elusive man, but the elusive man kills Anderson as well.
No.
Crazy.
I took a react. I mean, Anderson does die, but I stopped him from getting assassinated by the elusive man with a react.
Oh, I could have sworn I also hit it. Crazy. Anyway.
So Anderson does get shot, but doesn't get assassinated by the elusive man. I shoot the elusive man. He dies on the floor, all pathetic and stupid. And then I turn on the Crucible, or so I think, and me and Anderson have a nice little sit, and we think we're about to watch the world get saved. We sit as we both are bleeding out next
also,
to each other.
Sorry, I also got this. I also got this same thing. I react killed the elusive man, yes. I know that Anderson died. I thought that the elusive man also shoots Anderson.
Yeah, no, it's just mutual gunshot wounds, we technically killed each other. But if you don't take the react, the elusive man does kill him.
Does kill him. Yeah.
So the two of us are sitting watching, thinking that things are going to all, you know, fix and that we're just going to die here, but it's going to be okay. Anderson dies next to you. And Shepard is like starting to dim, and then we get a message that's like, it's not working. Like nothing's happening. It's like activated, but nothing's happening. It's got to be on your end. And Shepard tries desperately to climb to the controls, but there's like nothing to do. And then,
One of my notes is Anderson dies, sad face. He is my dad. Because
he's proud of you. That's his last
word. He's proud of you. Like, he's proud of you, kid, or he's proud of you. I'm proud of you, child, or I'm proud of you, kid. It's a sad one. He definitely says, I'm proud of you, son, if you play a male. I know that. This is your father figure, especially for especially for Shiv, who is an orphan and grew up on Earth and all this. Like, it's a sad one. He is your dad.
Deeply sad.
Yeah.
You're climbing to the controls. You can't figure out what to do, and you start to collapse and presumably are just bleeding out. And then Arthur Fonzarelli comes out on a jet ski and jumps over a shark.
Oh, my God.
In his leather jacket and bathing suit. Anyway, a platform that you're collapsed on raises up into the sky, and you are brought to the heart of
the Crucible.
The Crucible, And you know what, Robin? Why don't you take this one?
So, the catalyst is manifests as this little ghost child, the ghost child that you've been seeing throughout the whole game, the ghost child that you watch die on Earth, who it haunts you, is this metaphor for PTSD and it haunting you, walks up to you, announces itself as it is the AI that controlled the Reapers, that controls the Reapers, the one that the Leviathans made. You talk about the fact that the Leviathans made it. It made Harbinger. It is the thing. It's the perfect ideal of all the Reapers.
Yeah.
You have little minor conversations with it. You then get one of three / four options, technically. Get one of four options. It says you can control the Reapers in a blue paragon option that shows the elusive man controlling all the Reapers. You can destroy the Reapers, killing all of the Reapers, but also destroying all tech that includes the Geth, that includes all the Mass Effect relays.
And you can synthetic, rebuild, which could include you.
Which could and technically does include you. We'll kill Edie. All this stuff. It says you can rebuild, but it's going to be a very long time. And it shows Anderson blowing it up. And then it shows synthesis, which is you merge your organic matter into Reapers, and then you synthesize all beings to be both organic and inorganic in a weird marriage, and then the Reapers will just stop, I guess. Shepard makes a comment, wow, the elusive man was right, in a thing that I'm like, Shiv wouldn't say that. Chip
no,
wouldn't say
Ani
ever.
Would never
oh,
have said that. I thought that was so stupid.
The last
also,
option.
The thing does say that the elusive man wasn't right. He would not have been able to control them because he was under Reaper control. He would not have been able to do it.
Yeah, but you can because you're not under Reaper control.
Also, you would become a AI. You would
you
not
would replace
be...
You would replace the catalyst as the prime AI that controls all the Reapers. So it's not a control necessarily. It is a change of management.
Yeah.
Essentially. You also get the secret fourth option that they added later, which is you can just tell the kid that it's being fucking stupid and you don't want any part of this decision, which will, unfortunately, have the Reapers kill everything and then the cycle will just continue.
Yeah.
Which is dumb. What did you do?
So, and I'm a little pissed about this because I checked the numbers afterwards, after credits rolled. I went back to my military counter and I should have had the numbers for this, but I did not have the synthesize option.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I straight up didn't have it. But I, according to what the wiki says the numbers should be, I had them.
Oh, wow. That's so.
So, I don't know.
That's so interesting. I didn't know you couldn't get that.
Yeah. It's only if your military support is extremely high, which mine was.
Yeah. You did all the things.
I did everything. And I went back to check to see, like, just in case, like, I missed something. But according to the wiki, actually, hold on. Let me see if I still have it up.
Whoa, Dylan, are we on the Citadel right now? What does it just feel like we landed the Normandy for shore leave?
Oh, Robin, that's just because we're listening to one of the deep space songs from Pocket Bard, immersive audio made simple.
Oh, is that the app that lets you add music and soundscapes to your RPG sessions with 20 scene locations, soundscapes, and customizable tavern scenes completely free?
Yes, and it's all controllable in a very simple-to-use app. And with a subscription, Pocket Bard has even more soundscapes and scenes that you can fully customize.
I bet with an app like that, Game Masters can prep less and play more by weaving immersion into their games using interactive audio that's accessible, intuitive, and responsive.
Are we on Citadel News Network or something right now? Because if we are, I gotta go look for a Turian real quick.
Yes, Dylan, we are. And we're here with a quick announcement. The team behind Elcor Hamlet is back with Elcor Catcher in the Rye to remove any misunderstandings to the quality of Holden Caulfield's character. Also, the Pocket Bard app is free to download and already has 17 forever free fantasy essential scenes to get you started.
And it's available on iOS and Android.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl. In a special Gertrude world, happy birthday, happy birthday! I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes minus two, that's a zero.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck!
Oh my god, I am wondering if it's because you loaded a save.
But is there something else besides your military? Because what I found was that it should have just been based on the military aspect.
Yeah, I guess this says if your EMS is between 0 or 1,749 with either a save imported from Mass Effect 2 or a new game, only destroy control will be available.
Oh, is that really what it is? Oh, that's actually pretty stupid.
It's pretty fucking stupid.
That's actually pretty stupid. That, because yeah. It's not like, see, I get a lot of the other things that have happened to me because of this playthrough, like people dying and stuff, because it has to do with the fact that I didn't engage with them according to my gameplay save.
Yeah.
Or like that I didn't do things according to the gameplay save. But in this one, it doesn't really make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Because the import that I have is supposed to be acting as what Shepard did during the first
what
two
Shepard
games.
Did.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm not actually that mad about it because I chose control, because destroy is straight up not an option. It's not an option.
Sure. Yeah.
Shepard, convinced the Geth that they were alive. I gave life to them.
Yeah.
I inspired Edie to become a person. I am also barely organic anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it would be a pure evil run to take destroy. Uh-huh. I can't. Uh-huh. I can't imagine doing it. So, yeah, I took control. I can imagine, I hope,
that this is the case, but I can imagine that control is very different if you're a renegade versus a paragon. But the control option is interesting. Like, you become the AI, and then we see the Reapers not only back off in the war, but then we see them rebuilding the Citadel, rebuilding Earth. We see them, like, doing what Shepard would have wanted them to do.
Yeah.
Because Shepard is the AI. What did you do?
So I chose Destroy.
You had Synthesize and you chose Destroy?
Yeah, I chose Destroy. I have many reasons to be doing this. One is, I was going with... I knew you wouldn't pick Destroy. So yeah. Toward the end of the game, I started having Shiv has one goal, and she's so singular-minded in that goal. Toward the end, I was picking Renegade in even conversations with friends. So she was getting very short with everyone. And when the options... When the options presented themselves, she saw no physical way to fix this other than kill them all. So she destroys all the Reapers. They all die. Geth die. Edie dies. All of the Mass Effect relays are destroyed. There is then...
Mass Effect relays are destroyed?
All of the Mass Effect relays are destroyed. So a lot of people are just stranded, but over the next few years, people figure out how to rebuild the Mass Effect relays, rebuild them, and then things start being normal again. They start going back to normal. I had my own personal reasons to do this because this is one of the most controversial things. Destroy, if you have a high enough military rating, is the only way to get Shepard up at the end of the game. Credits happen. Everything is the same. There is this time skip of it's the Stargazer, and there is this old man saying, oh, that's the story of the Shepard and the stars. The Normandy crash lands on a planet. And then only Joker gets off. Then post-credits, there is a one shot that pans across London. The Reapers are still attacking London. And then it pans over to a single dead body of Shepard. And she goes, and then it ends. And the thing... The big, big fan theory, which it was when this game came out, it was the big theory, is that for the last act of the game, Shepard is indoctrinated. For the whole last act. But then EA rushed development, so then they had to cut most things, but didn't cut everything. So the only way to have Shepard to live is to destroy... And it's okay, I'm going to get into it a little bit.
Please do.
Okay. In Mass Effect 1, there is a diary entry saying the first sign of indoctrination is people having visions of a dark forest and you running through it, which is what all of Mass Effect 3 is.
Right.
There is most of the final scenes don't make sense. How did Anderson get up at the same time, even though everyone registered? Well, it's only Shepard is up there.
Right.
In the last scene, the fact that the child is...
The
same one you're having visions about. The elusive man picks the Paragon option, and then Anderson picks the Renegade, and it is the Reapers trying to be like, you should try to control us. And then they then, in controlling, because Shepard dies during control, it means that the Reapers... just get Shepard to kill themselves, and then the Reapers win. And and they don't want you to pick because the elusive man picks blue and then Anderson picks red. They want They show Anderson being wrong in wanting to destroy and kill the Reapers. So then Shepard is less likely to do it. But then if Shepard does it, then she wakes back up on Earth after the Reaper beam has hit her, before she goes up into the Crucible and the Catalyst. Because that's when the Reapers actually take control. There is a lot of dev files of the dream sequences called Indoctrination Blank. So those whole sequences, they named the indoctrination sequences. Again, there is a 3-hour documentary, a three-hour deep dive in this of people being like, Shepard is indoctrinated for the last act of the game. And it is my personal belief that she is. It is my big conspiracy theory. EA have said, no, she's not indoctrinated. She's like, that is just the end. Everything you see is everything you see. But I do believe it. I buy into that theory of the fact that she gets indoctrinated for the last act of the game. And is like slowly being indoctrinated throughout it. Even if this isn't true, I did want a story of someone who starts Renegade, becomes Paragon, and then goes Renegade again through, like, she falls into all of her old patterns, and she's so nihilistic toward the end that when there's a conversation that Shiv had with Jarvik, of Jarvik is like, oh, I have this memory of all my old people. I'm wondering if I should listen to it. And the Paragon is, yeah, of course you should. You should remember your people. And then the Renegade is, what's the point? We're all dying anyway. And Shiv was like, what's the point? We're all going to die anyway. So there's no point in reliving the past. And her whole headspace is, the only thing that matters is that we win this fight. I have lost everything to do it. I'm not going to change last second now. And decides to kill everything rather than have the Reapers have any, like, front, even though killing the Geth is deeply upsetting. But I also knew...
And Edie,
which sucks. But I also knew going into Rannoch, that if I didn't have the choice to save both, I would have saved the Quarians over the Geth. That was always going to be Shiv's decision. So I kind of, in that moment, had Shiv think it's got to be organic people, like it's going to be organic beings, regardless of whether or not that she believes in the soul, which she does. She saved both. If she had a choice, she would save, but she in that moment didn't think she had a choice. The first time I played this, I picked Control as well. I picked Control because I was like, well, that's the blue option, so surely that's a good one. And then my mind has changed enough about it because I don't think the indoctrination theory has much legs to stand on unless Shepard wakes up at the end. That's what's crazy. She wakes up back on Earth, which doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Even if we all go as like, oh, okay, you have high military strength and you destroy and that's just real. That's just what happens. She falls from space again. And then, but this time, she just stands back up. That makes no fucking sense.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
To me, it has to be that she, like, none of that last sequence was real, and it was the Reapers controlling
it. It did give me big Contact vibes, that whole sequence with the little boy.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Contact with Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
It was, that whole thing was very much... All right, so here's the thing. I don't necessarily think that the choices given to you are bad. I'm a little frustrated with the reasoning for why I didn't have the third option. I think of all of the things that I didn't get because of the playthrough issue, this is the only one that fully does not make sense to me. Like, if I had every other requirement in the playthrough of the game, I should have just gotten it. But whatever. Other than that, I don't think the choices are bad. I think they're interesting. I think the outcomes are interesting. I think that
it stands within the ethos of the game so far that Shepard being able to take control looks differently than a Reaper-controlled unit, than a Elusive Man-controlled unit. It would look different because of the entire ethos of this game, that Shepard becomes who Shepard is because of Shepard's people.
Yeah.
And without Shepard's people, there is no Shepard. And so Shepard taking control and that being a good ending, which generally I thought it was. It sucks that Shepard died and becomes this AI and this sort of like mythological creature of herself. But Garrus, Joker, Edie, like Rex, we see Rex, we see Grunt, we see we see almost everybody that I could recall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes it out and gets to do what they wanted to do and fix the world. So like Shepard makes a sacrifice to put herself into this machine and keep it from being the monstrous thing that it was.
Yeah.
I do think that the conversation with the kid being the kid from your dreams, that
it does
all
say
like it, nonsense.
It is a little nonsense. I do believe that the kid does say, I'm not actually this kid. You're just interpreting for me to look like this. Like I am
contact with Jodie Foster.
Contact
I'm not
with
actually
Foster.
Your father.
I need to watch this movie. I don't have enough context for this one film.
Watch Contact with Jodie Foster. It's one of the most beautiful movies ever made. But also, the ending is very much this last sequence on The Crucible.
Sure.
So overall, my thought is that I didn't hate the ending at all. I just felt like there was this part in this end sequence that felt like it didn't feel like a twist. It felt like a rushed rewrite a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I still like the choices. I think that they were interesting. I think that the ending options were interesting. And also, something was off about this fucking, you know, this fucking AI avatar being like, I'm immovable.
Yeah.
I'm all-knowing and I control the Reapers, but I cannot waver in my choices. But I can let you take over, I guess.
Yeah.
You can make a decision. I don't know. That was just like a weird...
Yeah. It's also actually important to note that the endings we got are not the endings the game shipped with. We are watching the extended cut, which came a few months after the end of the game. So I, originally playing this game, I got the original endings, which are about 10 minutes shorter. And let me see if I can find it, because it truly is. The ending happens and there's no ending narration. It is very Corypheus. We brought up Corypheus so many times. It is very the end of
Corypheus. I did think about Corypheus for sure.
It just kind of ends and then the game just kind of ends. And then they added on like a cutscene narration and things happening elsewhere in the galaxy. Let's see if I can do Mass Effect 3 original endings. I can mute this and then have this go. Yeah, the original endings is the whatever happens, the either the blue aura happens of you controlling it, the green aura of synthesis, or the red aura of destroy. Joker gets away, crash lands on the planet. Joker and Edie normally walk out, and then it's the Stargazer and the game ends. Nothing else of the narration at the end happens. So it's a very
interesting.
It's a very weird, like, it was very abrupt, and it's the cause of a lot of people to be like, hey, this fucking kind of sucks.
I imagine would actually suck. I felt like watching the Reapers rebuild the Citadel and watching like Grunt repopulate the Krogan and watching like, you know, like watching all those things happen made that choice to choose control seem like a good ending. Like it genuinely seemed like a bittersweet ending for Shepard, but a good one.
The first time I played this, I also picked control, and I do think control is a fine, like, it's sad. It's sad, but it is like, yeah, what, you know.
No, Shepard doing a self-sacrifice to make sure that everybody else is okay is one of the endings I assumed was going to happen.
Yeah,
I assumed was a choice.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure. The synthesis ending is interesting because I don't necessarily love it, because I think there is interesting implications of forcing everyone to be both tech.
I wanted to have it because I think I saw that, like, when I was looking at things, because I saw like I wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing something, so I looked up what the options were, and I saw that that was one. But I saw that it's one where you have the lowest risk of casualties, I think.
Sure.
But it is ethically weird.
It is ethically weird.
Yeah, everybody's... I mean, I guess it's less ethically weird than killing all the synthetics in the universe, but being like, you're not synthetic anymore, you're organic, is also a weird, like,
it's also
kind
interesting
of,
and weird.
It's still weirdly,
because it's also it's also like a, to what end?
Yeah.
To what end are we both synthetic and organic? Because it's like, we can have kids and then the kids have cybernetics. Is the cybernetics a natural thing? Are we talking like nanobots? At what point does... There's only so far you can have both inorganics and organics in the same body till one of them takes over.
Yeah.
And it's like, is the inorganic machine going to eventually just kind of devour the organic matter
also,
till we just
in
resemble
no
organic?
Way do you have the opportunity to convince the catalyst that its theory is fucking wrong.
It's wrong.
The idea,
and that's the
that
thing. Yeah.
I showed up here on your fucking doorstep with an army of Geth behind me and my best friend Edie, who's full AI.
Yeah.
Your theory that there's no way for people to coexist as organics and synthetics without wanting
blowing
to kill
each other,
each other is a flawed theory. It's a bad theory. It's a wrong theory.
Yeah.
And so your idea, first of all, that the only way, and BioWare writers, I'm so sorry, but you've done this before.
Yeah.
The idea that the solution to conflict is to mix everybody is a eugenicist talking point. And I'm so sorry to say that, but it is. The idea that, oh, well, if everybody just erases their own background, then we'll all just be
there's
the
only
same
one
and no
race,
conflict
the human
will
race.
Yeah. It's icky, to say the least. So I wanted to have the option because I wanted to have all the options available to me. But ultimately, I think that Shepard's self-sacrifice in order to make it so everyone else could survive is it is the most Shepard decision to do. And I don't feel like it's at odds with the fact that the elusive man wanted to do that, because the thing is that the elusive man with a gun and Shepard with a gun are also two different things. Like,
it's interesting. I don't love the fact that that the elusive man and Anderson are depicted as like the paragon and renegade options, because I do also think they are both different. I think because also it's like having it be like, oh, the elusive man did control, and then that be blue, and then Shepard be like, oh, so he was right. It's like, well, no, he wouldn't have been able to do it because he was too under the Reaper's indoctrination. It's like, well, then why did you show him doing it then?
Yeah.
Like, why did you show him trying to control them?
Right. And if he had done it, nothing would have changed because he is a bigoted warmonger, just like this imaginary child.
Yeah. And it's like, me doing it is different, so why would you show them doing it? And then also having Anderson, I don't know. It's such a weird one. They have so fully come out and said that they did not intend for the indoctrination theory to be a real thing. And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, sure.
I can see it, though.
You can see it? I can see it as well. There's a lot of people being like, oh, well, yeah, it's just the indoctrination theory happened because people needed to cope with the bad choice endings. And it's like, sure. Also, it would make more sense, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like it. I don't know. It's a weird one. But I do think that the ending, these final choices, do kind of encapsulate what doesn't work about Mass Effect. And it's a thing that I've been saying since we started this original playthrough, Mass Effect 1. Paragon and Renegade are not interesting choices.
Good/bad
just kind of sucks constantly. There's no nuance to things. And if you have a series that kind of depends on you're either being a good guy or a bad guy, when it comes to the final choice, you can only have you can be a good guy or you can be a bad guy. And it's like they have the libertarian option, I guess. But it's like this still sucks, though. Nothing is actually good.
And that really, you know what? Like I felt that way about the Paragade. Paragade? Yeah,
Paragade.
The Paragade system a lot, but it's never been more clear than this, where it doesn't make for an interesting choice. This isn't good. Choosing between what the game is telling you is good and evil is not ultimately an interesting decision.
Yeah. There is a fifth option that I forgot that existed. You can shoot the child, which was, again, added later because I'm reading here that the lead writer was pissed off that so many people were saying they wanted to shoot and kill the kid in the Crucible. However, and then it just has it that the kid is like, okay, fuck you, and then has the Reapers kill everyone anyway. But I do think that is the way to have an actual good end is that Shepard denies the choices given to them, just like Shepard has always done, and then destroys the AI that controls the Reapers so that they're just empty husks. They're just empty husks of no AI, and then the Reapers die, but then everything else is kind of fine. Like, that is like, if you wanted to have a perfect, true good...
Yeah, and you could make that a super difficult ending to get if you wanted to.
Or just have it be like, you have to think outside the box and you have to physically, when it asks you to make a decision, you get your gun and shoot the kid. Like people wouldn't think to do that. You have to think outside of the binary choices that you've been given.
Right. But the whole game's been very binary. So it wouldn't.
Exactly. So that's, you can do it. You can shoot the kid, but you just get a bad ending.
You get everybody dies.
Yeah.
The ending.
Yeah, weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's the end of Mass Effect.
So I just also want to say, I didn't hate the ending. I know I have some issues with it, but I still overall think that the finale was still pretty good. It's that last conversation that feels a little out of left field, but ultimately, I still think it's a strong finale. I think that I'm happy with the ending that I got, where all of my companions throughout the last three games that have made it this thus far have the opportunity to live and rebuild life. And I felt like it was strong. I felt I still really came away liking the series despite my criticisms of this last mission.
Yeah. I do. The thing is because we've been, you know, we've heard since we've been doing this series, we have heard people be like, oh yeah, Mass Effect, it's a shame that ending fucking sucked, is the main takeaway from.
Yeah, I don't know series. That I feel so sympathetic to that opinion that I've been hearing.
Yeah. And it's not great. Also, the thing is like, most people have that opinion from launch, the original endings, which aren't that much different, but still do kind of suck. And it's a thing
I come
it's
across
like,
some Dragon Age people who still have, you know, the same opinion when Corypheus was the original ending of Inquisition. That was a fucking bummer. And a lot of people are still sort of like, oh, yeah, the ending of Inquisition sucks. And I get that.
Yeah. But I also think that if you just say, oh yeah, Mass Effect 3 sucks as a whole, you're devaluing Modern Solace, the greatest story ever written.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And, or not Rex, and, or not Grunt.
Yeah. The way that you put your head in your hands when you said, not Grunt. It's you're feeling emotional about your boy.
My boy.
And your actuals child, your actuals.
My boy, he's out there repopulating the planet.
I do agree, though, that this does. I get it. I get the self-sacrificial ending, and I get that. I do find it extremely weak. I think this last act isn't good. There were lots of things.
I wouldn't say isn't good, but it definitely is weaker than the first two acts of this game, and you can feel it starting to lose its point a little bit.
I think you start to feel that just before Rannoch. I think you start to feel that point of the writing getting a tad little rushed. There were things where there's a lot of comments on how the last boss is that one Reaper as you're like stumbling towards the beacon with a pistol, because it's like the last combatant you see. How a truly reaperfied elusive man was supposed to be the last fight, which I actually don't think would have been good. I think the elusive man serves best
Agreed.
As not a combat based death. Like that is a guy who you talk to and then you shoot, because he's a guy.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy, and that's where he excels at, is being just a guy. I would have liked the ending to be just a little cleaned up. I do think everything from... I don't like not being able to talk to Rex. I don't like the fact... I appreciate that your whole team isn't there, because...
Sure.
Why would... But, like, they're all in different parts of the world doing stuff. The best bit of this game, to me, is in the Shore Leave DLC, where every single living squad mate is sprinting through the same area and talking. That should have been the ending of this.
That should have been.
It should be like every living squad mate from 1, 2, and 3 all storming the beacon together.
Yeah.
That would have been the coolest thing. I think the best ending is in Mass Effect 2, when, you know, you're assigned, you're like, okay, you go do this, and then you do this thing, which is going to help us do this, and then you can make a wrong decision and someone can die. I think they should have done something similar to that now in 3. Again, this is my favorite of the Mass Effects, is Mass Effect 3, but I do also think it's the end does
the ending is just missing
some
satisfaction, some story-wise satisfaction, some like Yeah, it's not bad. I still overall think it. I think it might be my favorite too. But it, yeah, this last bit was just like a little bit of whiplash because I was like having these moments, like these big moments that felt really good, and then I was sort of like, what is happening?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the shame of it, is having the, there is a lot of like, oh, okay, sure, I guess yeah, this is what happens. I guess I don't really have a say in this.
And then at one point that kid was talking and I fully zoned out. I was just like, oh my God. Okay. yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Are you still going? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
It's good.
Liked it.
Me
I
too.
Liked it. It doesn't make me go insane, but I do
no,
like it.
No, I know.
It.
Yeah.
I would have taken the entirety of the last act to be on Earth rather than just the last mission. I think it would have been fun to have a lot of Earth-based stuff. Because,
deeply interesting. I think that could have been cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it would have been fun. Also, takes place in London. Big ups, London.
Big ups, London.
Big ups, London. You know, we watch Big Ben get destroyed. We love that shit. I think it would have been cool to have a lot of scenes on Earth. It probably would have lessened the blow of it feeling rushed, because it does feel rushed to me.
It feels a bit rushed, yeah.
Yeah. Everything just kind of happens out of nowhere, and it goes from... I also don't think the Cerberus base is as satisfying as it should have been. I think I do... I appreciate as to why the Elusive Man isn't there, and the Elusive Man is one of the last things you... See, I appreciate and I get it. However, Comor, I do think it probably would have been cool if we killed the Elusive Man in his own house. Like, I think that's where that would have been satisfying and fun. Yeah, it's a weird one. It's a weird one, but then that's it. Anyway.
I still the thing is, I really liked it. I feel overall pretty good about it. Even the ending, I still feel pretty moderately good about it. I do think that BioWare needs to maybe learn about eugenics a little bit before they write their next big choice. Because that's just so funny that they were like, and the best option, the perfect ending.
Well, I'm actually excited because, so this isn't the next series we're going to play, but it is the last BioWare game is Knights of the Old Republic, which is also kind of a bit eugenics-y.
Oh, yeah, so, that's right. Yep.
So yep. it just might be their favorite thing. They might just be talking about it.
I think they just love it a little.
They just love it a little bit.
I think they love it a little. You know what? Speaking of next things that we're doing, do we want to tell the people what the next thing is?
Yeah, I think we should. So we have finished the Mass Effect trilogy. Next, I imagine most people are thinking, oh, then they're going to go do Mass Effect Andromeda. Hold on.
Calm down.
Calm yourself. We will at some point get to Mass Effect Andromeda. However, we had the most exciting thing in the world ever happen to me personally.
So exciting.
We had Modiphius reach out to us and ask if we wanted to do a Fallout actual play. And this is very exciting to me because consistent listeners of the show would know that the Fallout universe is my favorite. Before Dragon Age is my favorite universe.
Oh my God.
Shared
you know
universe.
What that made me feel just now? Oh my God.
So we decide, instead of doing Andromeda, with the fact that Dylan has never played a Fallout game, with the fact that I love Fallout, and we are making an actual play that is set in the Fallout universe, the next game we're going to be playing on Dorkspawn is Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, baby!
The greatest game of all time.
I'm going to have a tough time. I'm going to have a hard one.
I am so outstandingly stoked So we're going to be playing Fallout New Vegas on the show for the next X amount of time, where X is until we finish Fallout New Vegas. People who have played Fallout New Vegas are going to be wondering, I bet, how are you going to play Fallout New Vegas chapter by chapter?
Yeah,
well,
I'm wondering.
We have, I have spent a second trying to figure this out. I have come to the conclusion. The first 3 weeks, we have solidified in what we're going to do. Post those 3 weeks, whatever Dylan is interested in visiting and exploring, we are going to do that for the next week until we finish Fallout New Vegas. That is
so it's in my hands. Yippee-ki-yay!
Yeah. Woo! Well, you're going to be like, I'm interested in doing this. I'm going to say, okay, let's do up until this point then. When you get that mission, then stop. And then the week after, you can be like, I either want to continue this storyline or you want to go do another series of missions.
Hey, there's not a build a house mechanic in Fallout New Vegas, is there?
Unfortunately, there is not. I'm so sorry. There's
okay. No, that's for the best. Because
You would just spend weeks doing that.
Yeah.
If we were playing Fallout 4, there is a build a house mechanic, but I don't like Fallout 4 so much that I want to be doing New Vegas instead. So, we have done a big thing that I'm excited about. We have done Dragon Age, a series of isolated stories set in one larger shared universe. We have then done the Mass Effect trilogy, which is one shared story over a shared universe. And now we are doing Fallout, which is a shared universe, but stories that are so isolated that they don't affect each other much at all. So it is still a kind of similar, like, three-part theme where even though the stories are isolated in Dragon Age, they all affect one another and affect the world at large. Mass Effect, everything is affecting everything. Fallout, the kind of theme of Fallout is nothing really what you're going to do is going to matter in the long run, but it's still, you know, you can still see the effects of other people throughout the world.
Yeah,
that I think is really cool.
And also, I know we mentioned it, we will do Andromeda.
We are going to be doing Andromeda after we do Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah.
But whilst we are doing Fallout New Vegas, on Mondays, on Fridays, we're going to be releasing Darkspawn regular. We are playing Fallout
regular
New Vegas.
Style.
On Mondays, we are going to be releasing a six, technically seven-part actual play, including Session Zero, called Fallout The Kings of Mahat, which is an original story using the Fallout TTRPG system from Modiphius, and it is going to be set in New York City.
Woo!
The AP that we're doing is Fallout The Kings of Mahat. It is an original story that takes place in New York City. It is myself, Dylan. It is Canis McAfee. It is Nick Meyer. Sarah is Coffee. And it is so good and fun. We have recorded three sessions so far. I love it so deeply. I have kind of been sitting on this story for a while because I love Fallout. I've been wanting to do a Fallout AP. So when Modiphius was like, hey, do you want to do one? We kind of bit and chewed and screamed at it. So that'll be happening on Mondays. We'll be playing Fallout New Vegas on Fridays. And that's it. That's it, baby.
That's it. We got an original theme song from Behold that you'll hear in the trailer, which we'll post shortly after this episode.
Yep.
And it's going to be sick.
I'm stoked as fucking hell for it. It is truly, when I say it's my favorite setting outside of Dragon Age, it had been my favorite setting since I was like a teenager. I've loved these games for so, so long. Specifically Fallout New Vegas, I've played. When I say every week, I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times, that is a little bit of exaggeration. I have, in fact, played Fallout New Vegas 100 million times. I love that game much. It makes me go cuckoo bananas. And I'm very, very, very excited.
I'm so excited. Truly. But we have to give Mass Effect, the trilogy, a proper sign-off.
It's send-off. Yeah.
So.
I have a pitch.
What is your pitch?
You know how you said there's no Vicarion without Shepard?
Yes, which is what I was going to pitch, I think.
Do you want to make it more cheesy?
Because there is no Apellian without Ekberg.
Exactly, baby.
There is
no Apellian without Ekberg. There is no Ekberg without Apellian.
Yep. And that's nice. The truth, baby.
Good. I'm glad we had the same idea at the same time.